Hello, everybody. This is Burt Middleton, the gout killer, and it is that time again. It is 12 o'clock, straight up noon here in Denver, Colorado, and a beautiful day. It is a little bit overcast, a little bit cold, but nevertheless, just a gorgeous day out, and I hope it is a gorgeous day wherever you are, too. And today's topic, if you caught this on Facebook or Twitter or my newsletter, I mean from an email or whatever, I wanted to talk about toxic chemicals and my gout story. I'm feeling a little bit like I should be talking about something very Christmassy, but Christmas is next week, and I think I'm going to do the phone call on Wednesday next week instead of Thursday, so stay tuned for that. And but right now, what I wanted to talk about, and the reason why I wanted to talk about this, is so often everybody wants to know what to eat for gout and what not to eat so they don't get gout. And certainly, as I've said many times, the whole what we eat or what we don't eat certainly plays a big part in what is going on with us getting gout or not getting gout, but it's not everything. And just that's why I wanted to tell you a little bit about my story to give you some ideas. If I know you and I've interacted with you before, oftentimes we'll talk a little bit about food, but you know, a lot of times we'll talk about different things like where did you grow up and what was the setting and what do you do for work and what is involved in your work. And that is because when I was in my sort of early to middle 30s, I was still doing a lot of construction work, and I was building a lot of decks and portals and porches. This was in Santa Fe, New Mexico. We called them portals. You know, the overheads that go over a porch. And so we were digging holes in the ground, and we were setting green-treated lumber into holes in the ground. And we used green-treated lumber so that it wouldn't decay and get eaten up by all the bacteria and all the insects and that kind of thing. And so I was handling that green-treated lumber on a day-to-day basis. And they always said, wear gloves. Do you think I did? No, I didn't. And so then I'm sawing it up, and it's getting in the air, and I'm breathing the dust, and the dust is settling on my skin and soaking into my skin and getting right into my blood. And it was about, well, I was about 38 when all of a sudden, you know, I started getting gout attacks. And I didn't really know what they were the first couple times. And then finally I got the mother of all gout attacks. And if you've read my story online, the way I like to graphically put it is if I'd had a gun, I would have shot myself. It was unbelievable. It was in my ankle and a lot of ice and a lot of ibuprofen later. We got back to Santa Fe, and I went to the emergency room, and they said, yep, that's gout, and here's your 800 milligram dose of ibuprofen. So that was how the whole thing got started. But there was another kind of interesting piece going on around that time that it wasn't until years later, until I started doing this whole gout killer thing, that I realized it could have had an even bigger impact. And it kind of fits in with the whole idea of toxic chemicals. Oh, and by the way, I just wanted you to know, maybe I left this part out, green-treated lumber, what they treat it with so the insects and the bugs and the bacteria doesn't eat it up, is arsenic. And so I'm probably got this heavy metal poisoning of arsenic going on. But, you know, something else that was going on around that time that happened was I got bit by a dog. My roommate's dog tried to bite the middle finger off of my left hand, and so I ended up in the hospital on IV antibiotics for a week. And so if you're one of those people who knows all about how incredibly tricky it is to successfully use antibiotics, and every time you get a sniffle or somebody in your family gets a sniffle and you start taking antibiotics, You might want to rethink that because those are some very, very, very powerful drugs, pharmaceuticals, that they're designed to kill off all the bacteria and get rid of those infections. And in doing that, and getting rid of those infections, you kill off all of the good bacteria that is in your whole gastrointestinal tract as well. And so you not only kill off all the bad stuff, you kill off all the good stuff, and our immunity comes from our digestive system and our whole gastrointestinal tract. And there's a lot of information, if you want to do some searching on it now, how they're starting to understand how our very existence depends on the good microbiome, those good bugs in our belly, to digest our food and to keep us healthy. And so this whole antibiotic thing, not only are we giving antibiotics to ourselves, but we're also ending up giving antibiotics to all of our cattle and all of the animals that we eat, and now we're giving antibiotics that way, and that's no bueno either. So in the world of toxic chemicals, you know, toxic chemicals can be coming from outside of ourselves, kind of like as the example of me and the green-treated lumber thing, but then we can be doing a lot of weird stuff with toxic chemicals, kind of like with the whole antibiotics thing. So that's what I wanted to kind of bring to light and bring to the table today. I just want to add one more thing to it. We think of toxic chemicals in the construction industry. We, you know, you deal with all kinds of paints and solvents and dust and all kinds of toxic crap, but in our everyday lives, we need to be a lot more careful about simpler things like what is the dishwashing detergent that we use? What is the detergent that we wash our clothes in? What are the cosmetics that we use? Women using more cosmetics than men, but as men, you know, we use different kinds of soaps, we use different kinds of shave creams, we use different kinds of stuff on our skin, and it soaks right into our blood. So we can be getting a lot of toxicity from those sources as well, and those sources of toxicity can be in just as devastating and difficult on our whole immune system and the way our body works in general. So that's kind of where I was going with that. But who just joined us?
My name's Rick.
Hey, Rick. This is Bert. Have we ever talked before?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, thanks for jumping on the call. I was kind of talking about how in my construction days, I handled a lot of green-treated lumber, which is treated with arsenic. And around that same time, I ended up, due to a really serious dog bite, ending up on IV antibiotics for a week in the hospital. And those are the things that I think led to the onset of my getting gout. Do you what's your story with getting gout?
Oh, I don't know, but I would certainly say that I went through both of those things you just described.
Really?
Yeah, it's interesting. I worked in construction, and I also had a pretty severe dog bite. I don't know what the connection would be there. It never would have crossed my mind there was one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, where I go with all of this, I'm talking about this stuff all the time, so you may have heard me, you may have read something I've written or heard me talk about it somewhere along the line, but as far as gout goes, we get so concerned about the uric acid, as we should, because that's when it crystallizes, that's where all the problems start. But what I try to bring a lot of light to is that The uric acid is metabolized from the purines. The purines are in the proteins. And if we're not digesting our proteins very well, we're probably not processing the purines very well. And that can lead to the effect of the uric acid becoming excessive and out of control. And so how well we digest could be affected, is affected, no doubt affected, by how much antibiotics we have ended up taking over the course of our lives, and or how well we've repopulated our whole gastrointestinal tract with good bacteria. Does that part make sense to you?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's where the whole, that's why I wanted to bring up the whole antibiotics thing, is like, first of all, we got to be digesting those proteins better, and that could be the start of our gout problems. On the other hand, you know, these toxic elements, the heavy metals like the arsenic in used for treating lumber, once that those heavy metals get into our bodies, then they can really have detrimental effects on the way our livers, for one thing, work, but even more importantly, the way our kidneys work. So I only have one kidney. Now, you know, you've messed around with green treated lumber. You had a serious dog bite. Had to be on antibiotics. Don't tell me you've only got one kidney too.
No, I've got both of them. Thanks.
Okay, good. All right. Well, you're way ahead of the game as far, you know, way ahead of me. So, but you know, that's where I go with that. That's why I feel like it's this important thing to be talking about toxic chemicals at this point, because, you know, I think a lot of people get distracted with the idea that all they have to do is not eat red meat or not drink beer, and, you know, then they're not going to get gout. And there's so much more to the story. How long has it been since you've been working construction and having to deal with the green-treated lumber?
Oh, a long time, you know, 30 years really. although I've built my own house, and it's pretty much unavoidable to use a little bit of treated lumber somewhere. I've been as careful as I could with it, but, you know, for example, if you're working with concrete in connection with lumber, then you need to go with the treated stuff or everything rots.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've minimized my contact. I don't know. But, I mean, these things are very difficult to pinpoint, aren't they? The connections.
Yeah, definitely. So when was it that you had this dog bite?
Oh, 7, 8 years ago.
Uh-huh. And so, of course, they put you on antibiotics. Was it pretty extensive, pretty serious? Did they have you on antibiotics for some period of time?
No, and my recollection of it is that it wasn't anything particularly out of the ordinary, except that I might have lost my thumb, but that didn't happen. So.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm glad to hear that didn't happen.
I don't mean to monopolize the conversation here. Am I the only caller?
I'm actually not sure, but I was going to kind of let you tell your story a little bit since you came on late, and then I was just going to open it up. So let's do that right now. Is there, who else is out there that has got something going on that you want to speak up and tell your story? Well, there's either no one else on the call, Rick, or they're very shy. so you know, don't worry. Usually, you know, when people are, you know, want to talk, they jump in. So, you know, I think I know that I definitely have a lot of people that just sort of want to call in, and listen. They don't really want to speak up so much. So, if there's anything more that you wanted to add to this, feel free.
Well, thanks. You know, I don't know if I don't know if this is even relevant, but I find that I've said this specifically for the last 6 or 8 months since I had some minor surgery and a dose of antibiotics then. I've been going back and forth every, you know, three weeks or so with what seems to be gout-like symptoms. Mm-hmm. On a couple of occasions, it clearly was gout. Mm-hmm. On other occasions, it's more like tendinitis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find it very difficult to separate. I've dealt with gout for a long enough time to, I think, recognize many of the symptoms of it. And I feel pretty comfortable diagnosing tendinitis as something else. But I don't know if there could be a connection between the two or not.
I'm not sure either. There are definitely times when I feel like little pains that I'm kind of, I sort of get that freaked out feeling of like, oh my God, here it comes, you know, start, get busy. And then it ends up being some sort of other joint pain. There have been many times that I wonder if it starts as one thing and ends up as another. Does that seem like a possibility?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Same things cross my mind.
Yeah. As far as the things that seem like tendinitis, what joints have they sort of shown up in?
Well, it's almost always connected with one foot. shows up in the Achilles or in the peroneal tendon. It could be connected to plantar fasciitis. You know, nobody... I've talked to, and I've spoken to a number of doctors about it. Either it doesn't fit their specialty or they don't have any clue.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm. So you're getting sort of like a plantar fasciitis thing on the bottom of your heel?
No, it usually shows up as an inflamed tendon more. But it's there. Mm-hmm. From the research I've done, they're often connected.
Mm-hmm.
So if the plantar fascia is weak, then it can lead to all these other symptoms in particular.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I'm not really up on how the whole thing progresses, so this is new information for me. So when did you first get gout?
Probably 15 years ago.
Uh-huh, okay. And
my experience is very different from yours, though. From, you know, I've read your history that you've published. I certainly never had multiple intense incidences of gout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That way, so...
Yeah.
Sounds like everybody's a little different. One thing I find rather interesting about it is I know a lot of people who have gout, and almost none of them fit the traditional profile. They're not overweight. You know, they don't indulge excessively, as far as I know. They're mostly active people.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me doubt a lot of the original notions of what gout is or where it comes from.
Yeah, what I've come to not really a conclusion of, but what I try to bring more to the conversation is that gout really has everything to do with how well your kidneys are working, and due to all of us just being so completely biochemically unique, you know, what has happened to us in the course of our lives, the way we may have abused or neglected our bodies, what we've been exposed to in the way of toxic chemicals, whether they're outside of us or like in the foods that we eat, it creates a whole very unique biochemistry, and how well our kidneys are working, I think that has everything to do with it. The strange part of it, the really strange part of it for me, though, is that they'll do all the usual kidney tests and tell you your kidneys are working fine, but you know, when it comes down to how does the body regulate the uric acids, that's really up to the kidneys. So if you're getting gout, how can they be saying, well, your kidneys are working fine? So that's something I haven't gotten to the bottom of, but kind of where I've got to. So I was just going to open this up one more, give everybody one more try, see if anybody wants anything else. If anybody wants to speak now. Otherwise, I was going to start to wrap it up. And if you've got more to say, Rick, it's open to you.
No, I've got no more to say. Just interesting. I wanted to hear your voice, and I appreciate your emails. And I'll keep in touch. Thank you very
much. Yeah, you bet. Thank you. So is there anyone else that wants to step up now, that wants to speak about anything, wants to talk about their story, comment, questions, anything at all? So going once, going twice. So I just want to end by saying Merry Christmas, for one thing. Next week is going to be Christmas, and I usually do these calls on Thursday. And so since Christmas is on Thursday, I won't be doing it, but I am going to do it on Wednesday at noon, Mountain Standard Time. And also, if you've been keying into the Google Hangouts, the next one isn't going to be until Thursday, and I'm pretty sure I set it up for January 8th, and that happens at 2 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. And if you're in the Denver area, I have another live event, a little seminar, a little talk that I will be doing at the Natural Grocers at the corner of Colorado and Evans. And that's going to be at 1 p.m. on January 25th, and that's a Sunday. So I hope that if anybody that's on the call is here in Denver, that I will see you there. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. So have a Merry Christmas and a good holiday, and talk to you all soon. Thank you.
Thank you.